So we have a tendency, as people, the human race has a tendency, but it's funny enough, people who are in the world and sinners have the same tendency as the people in the church. It's just interesting. The thing is, people in the world just don't know about it. But once we get into the church and we become Christians, I've seen there's a struggle sometimes, but the bend that we have is the following. And I hear it, I'm actually amazed sometimes, but we first dream our dreams, we plan our plans, and we use our skill to begin to act on what we dream and what we've planned. And then we go to God and say, God, please favor us. God, please help us. This is what we do. Whether it's getting married, truly people just go into relationships, go out of relationships, whether it's having children, whether it's obtaining or buying certain things when we want it, why we want it, we have a tendency, we have a bend. It's an internal human bend that we first think, this is what I want. Okay, let's get the plans in place. And then to say when we finish, right, Lord, I'm really asking you, I'm trusting you, God, that you will bless this. Okay? This is what we do. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with dreaming. There's nothing wrong with acting on these things. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not a sin yet. Okay? However, God does something different. God encourages us not to lean on our dreams, our plans, and our abilities. But He encourages us to acknowledge Him in all our ways. Okay? So if you're a dreamer, I'm a natural dreamer. I love dream. My wife laughs at me sometimes because I tell her, just imagine. And my son's also like that. Just imagine. I'm a natural dreamer. So God doesn't want me to stop dreaming. God, some of you are natural planners. Most probably wife and husband, there's a combination and a balance. Okay? The one dreams, the other one says, okay, but this is how we're going to do it. You're doing it wrong. But that's God's bringing together. Nothing wrong. Some of you are action takers. Nothing wrong. But you cannot lean on that. God actually discourages us to lean on it. And He encourages us to acknowledge Him in all our ways. Everything. I remember when we decided to have kids. Just quick as an example. We didn't decide to have kids because we could. We decided to have children because we may. Meaning we acknowledge the Lord in that way. When we had Neva, we had quite a rough ride for 3.5 years with a baby that's colic. And I mean, we were like wounded and bruised. And then after we recovered, we said, okay, Lord, can we have another child? Not because we could, but because He said we may. That's acknowledging God. And then the twins came. And we started all over again with being wounded and with all the love and everything. But I mean, God knows what to give. That was the journey for us. And it was all contained in acknowledging God. Can you maybe put that scripture up for me, please? It's a very well known, I think this is one of the scriptures I got to know as a young believer first. It's Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. So this is Solomon, King Solomon, actually speaking to his son. This wise man is speaking to his son, and he's most probably mentoring him, discipling, and he's saying to him, my son, if I can give you advice, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And then he goes and he says, listen. It's almost like saying, listen, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. It's like just depositing this truth. The truth is so significant that God scribes it into the Old Testament, into the Bible. So there must be weight upon it. There must live up that lay as God besluited om te dink. What Solomon is saying to his son is so significant, it will echo into the eternities. It needs to be in the Old Testament, into the Bible. There's weight. All right. So the encouragement of the Lord is, discouragement is, do not lean on your own understanding, do not be wise in your own eyes, but in everything acknowledge the Lord. And I will touch on a few things just now. As I build into this message, my hope is that you will walk out here and that you will acknowledge God in everything. Everything. All right. What does it mean? To acknowledge, let me actually go, I'm going to work upside down. If you take that scripture, just briefly, and you look at the meaning, the Hebrew meaning and the Greek meaning of the word acknowledge. The Hebrew meaning is yada. Who of you know the word yada? Okay, you've heard of the yada, okay? So it's yada, and the Greek meaning of that word is pioto. It's Greek. So the Bible was actually written in the early church in Greek. Just remember that. But there's a significance in the Hebrew meaning. And yada means to intimately, warmly, closely know or recognize someone. It's the same word of acknowledgement. Yada is the same word that it speaks of in Genesis 4, where it says that Adam knew Eve. Adam yadad, he knew her intimately, closely. And God comes and he says in Proverbs, in the Old Testament, he says, don't lean on your own understanding, don't trust yourself, but rather intimately, closely know my heart and tell me of the things that's in your heart in such a way that it's that we're so close that we're actually intimate. I want to know what's going on in your heart because you acknowledge me. And I want you to know what's in my heart concerning that matter. That's the weight of acknowledging God. It's not just to say, okay, Lord, I'm on my way going there. I'm going to buy that. And I'm just telling you about this. That's not acknowledgement. That's like fellowshipping with the Lord. You're not intimate. You're fellowshipping and just briefly telling him, listen, I'm on my way there. But when you're closely, intimately sharing, it's almost, you can do it that way, but there's almost a weight in it. Not just weight, but a stopping and saying, God, this is what's going on. I want to tell you about this. And I want to tell you in a way that I want to hear what you feel about it. And Solomon was speaking about that. It was not about just running the race. It was picking up on the heart of God on matters concerning everything in our life and everyone. And just imagine, let's dream again. Just imagine if God starts speaking and telling you what he thinks. Okay, so that for me is what is the meaning. And I wanted to put a little bit of weight on that because, I mean, we've all got a perception of what it means to acknowledge someone. And if you can learn what it means to God, what it means to God to acknowledge him, and you can take that into your marriage, and you can take that into your friendship or your relationship with you towards your parents, teens, to acknowledge mom and dad is not just to say, this is what I feel I'm going to do. That's not getting them to know what's going on. To acknowledge them is to actually say, this is what I feel I want to do, but what does dad feel? What do you feel about it? I want to pick up your heart on this, dad. Okay, now there's something different. It's a relational thing. It's close. It's intimate. It's yada. Okay, so everybody with me? Okay, and I'll tell you, I'm moving towards, okay, but hoekom is dit so belangrik? Why is it so weighty? I'll tell you now. And there's such a lot I could say. I literally took three, and I think there's about 10. I was sitting thinking, oh, Lord, help me. I want to choose. But I want to be simplistic as well. So hopefully I'm going to give you what you need as a church. Just before we get there, the question will be then, when? When should we acknowledge God? Well, very simple. If we go back to Proverbs 6 alone, he actually gives us the answer, and he says, in all your ways. In all your ways. Okay, so just stop quickly. I didn't plan this, but practically, just tell me quickly. Is there anything that you're busy with that is not part of all your ways? Yeah, silly question, eh? Is there anything that you're busy with or going to be busy with which is not part of your ways? No. So is God, will God ask us something which He wants us to do, which is going to be actually unnecessary, impossible? Will He ask us all our ways if it's not something that's able to be done? No. God has, and if it's impossible for us, He says, my grace is sufficient. So He's already put a picket fence in place. So if you say, but I can't do it, it's okay. You can't do everything. You're most probably going to fail. But the grace of God will never fail. Never. His ability is sufficient. The Holy Spirit, the grace of God now living and working within us, the ability, the dunamis power of God, is more than sufficient to help us to do the will of God. Don't doubt about that. Okay? The question is just, are we hearing Him and following Him? Because if we hear and follow, His ability rests upon us. Right. So it's in everything. I wanted to add this. In our dreams, in our planning, and preferably before we act. That's very important. Because planning and dreaming is still being active. But the moment you start doing something about it, and you haven't heard His heart, you're most probably moving in a different direction than the Lord. Okay. But His encouragement for us is, know me. Come pick up on my heart, but also come tell me, come see for me. Now, of course He sees it. He knows what you're busy with. There's many times I watch my boys in the home and they think I don't see them. But I can learn, I've learned now in their body language, whether they're busy with the things of mom and dad or whether they're not. It's a grach, man. They even now are busy trying to fake me. But I saw that as well. No, I'm only joking. But I can see even in their body language that things are moving in the direction that we have not agreed upon in the house. Yet, because we are in relation to one another, we are in a relationship. It's important for me to speak to them and for them to come towards me and know me in what's going on, whether they're doing right or wrong. Preferably, I want that to happen first. Dad, we didn't do the right thing. Then suddenly the mercy of God flows within me. If not, the full grace of God empowers me to shepherd them well. All right, that's how the two work together. So anyway, and it's for all of us. So it's in everything. Why? And I want to run through this. The first one is this. I feel the Lord wants you to hear. When He says, acknowledge me, it's because God loves us. And God wants to help us by making straight our ways. And He will, because God cares. And God wants to be our eternal Christ, but also our day-to-day Christ. Please, please listen. When God says, acknowledge me, it's not because He wants to restrict you. It's because He wants to set you free. When God says, acknowledge me, it's not because He wants to rob you of something. It's because He cares and He wants the very best for you. And sometimes it will be a taking away. But when the Lord takes away, it's a benefit. It's a giving of life. Because the kingdom of God does not work like the kingdom of the flesh. All right? I want to give you the scripture, and this is just the character of God. Most of us know it is in John 16, verse 17. For God so loved the world. I mean, this is why the world were in darkness. That He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Okay, why acknowledge Him? Because He wants to save you. Not just eternally, every day. He wants to be your eternal Christ, but your day-to-day Christ. And some of us made Him our eternal Christ, but He's not our day-to-day Christ. Christ meaning Savior. He's not our day-to-day Savior. Because we don't go to Him and say, Lord, what do You think? We know what He thinks about eternity, but what does God think about every day? And He wants to set us free. Okay, He loves us. There's a personal example, but for the sake of time, I've got to Let me mention it. My wife's going to tell me afterwards, you did it again. You said you're going to say something and you said you're not going to do it and you did it, but I'm going to do it. Sorry, Liffy. Did it again. I heard a voice. I want to give you an example of how important everything is to God. About 3 years ago, I remember there was a time where financially it was a little bit restricted, and we do acknowledge the Lord in everything. And I remember I needed a pair of tackies. And for about 6 weeks, we would go for walks in the morning, and we've just channeled all our finances into the kids and what they needed, like we do, like parents do. Kids, that's what parents do, if you didn't know, all right? And we were walking, and I would tell her, yes, my feet are sore, I need a pair of tackies. And we'd pray, and I would pray about it. And this guy phones me 6 weeks later, while we were now just acknowledging the Lord, knowing his heart. I didn't feel the Lord say goodbye. I waited. This guy phoned me, he says, Lee, he's known me from ministry from way back. He says, do you need a pair of tackies? I said to him, yes. How do you know? He says, you know what? The last 2 weeks, every morning when I wake up and I put on my tackies to go to gym, I hear the voice of the Lord say, Lee needs a pair of tackies. Lee needs a pair of tackies. And I said to him, and he said, go and buy a pair of tackies and send me the amount. 2 days later, somebody knocks on my door at the gate. I know this guy from school, and he was part of our previous church. And he says, listen, I've got a pair of tackies for you. I bought it for my son. It's a pair of Nike tackies, but he doesn't like it. Doesn't even believe it here. I said, you know what? I'll take it. I must be honest, Nike's not my fit. Nike's it's a thin fit. I've got a New Balance type of feet, which means got to be a little bit broader, or Adidas. It's not about the brand. It's about how they design their shoes. He says to me, that's okay. I'm here now. Drive with me. Let's take it back to the shop, and then you choose the shoe you want. I went with him. I got another pair of New Balances, CrossFit. So now in 1 week, I had a jogging pair of New Balances and CrossFit. Who was that? That was the Lord. Why? I don't know. But I did acknowledge him in my way. Even in the small things. Lord, should we go for a movie Friday night? It's a no-brainer, Lord. The kids are in youth. It's the perfect timing. It doesn't matter. Sometimes common sense to the world makes no sense to God. So what do we do? Lord, what do you think? We want to pick up on your heart. So for me, I will never forget these words. Lee needs a pair of tackies. You know what that says to me? Is that my Father who is in heaven has his eyes on me. He has his ear inclined to me. And he's not going to give me everything I want. But he promises that he will give me what I need when the time is right. All right. He'll do the same for you. And he has most probably been doing it in the last few years. Even though you don't feel it. It could have been totally different. All right. Secondly, if you say, why? Acknowledge. Well, acknowledging God in all our ways is the most trustworthy way to live. This ties in with our humanity. I want to say this. God can be trusted. Not just because the Bible says so. The Bible says it, it settles it. But I've seen it over and over. And even if I do not trust God, He can still be trusted. Even if you are disappointed today in God because something hasn't worked out based on your understanding, God can still be trusted. Okay, God does not fail. We fail. God does not become impatient. We become. But listen to this. Our hearts are deceiving above all. We cannot trust our own hearts above the heart of God. See, you say, but hoe kom ek die Here ken? Want hy kan vertrou word en jy kan nie. He can be trusted and you cannot. All right. And I mean, the example that I have here, and my kids are now in the mix here, but hopefully I can try and balance it out and explain to them later. But I remember when I met up with Anel and we started realizing, oh, okay, there's something here. And most probably something of the Lord. I remember because of my past experiences that have left bruises on my life. I can't speak for her now, but we have spoken. I remember it influenced the grid and my lens through which I made decisions and continue to make decisions concerning relationships. So when I now came, based on bruises, I looked and spent time and I thought to myself, nah, this is not going to work. This is not going to happen. And I remember one night driving away from Anel and the Lord saying, and I remember I'm acknowledging him in this. And I remember the Lord say, this is your partner. You need to give her a chance. And we were not even in a relationship. We were just in friendship. And if not for knowing God closely, and being so close, like I'm now to Anthony. I don't know if he likes it, but so close that I can hear the whisper say, this say. I know he doesn't tick, the boxes aren't ticked, and I'm sure I didn't tick the boxes. But he knew this is the one. If I didn't acknowledge him and I was close enough to hear his heart, I might have missed the destiny of God. He said, but won't God make another plan? Listen. Sometimes our filters are so dirty and we are so wounded that it keeps us away from the plan of God. Why? Because we're leaning on it too much. We're leaning on the experience that have hurt us or the wound so much that we cannot hear the heart of God. And he wants us to grow to a place where he say, hey, Ken May, acknowledge me. Okay. So there is scripture. I'm not going to read it now. But it is a backing, I'll mention it in Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 to 4, where Moses just ascribes greatness to God our rock. And he says, listen, God can be trusted. He's so faithful. All right. And lastly, as an encouragement, if you say, but what do I tell my kids? If it's not for you, and your kids say, but why must I know God in this? I'll give you another reason which I feel is legit. Acknowledging God in all our ways is synonymous. It means they run together. It's synonymous with active discipleship. We cannot say we are a follower of Christ, yet we are not acknowledging Him in all our ways. Can I say this again? There's a lot of emphasis on discipleship in Josh Gen 4:12 at the moment. Discipleship, being a follower of Christ and knowing His will and heart, goes hand in hand. We cannot say I am His follower, but we're not picking up on what's His heart. We don't know what He wants. We're not aware of what's going on inside of Him concerning the very thing we want to walk in. To walk in that with Him, we need to follow Him. To follow Him, we got to pick up on His heart. How do we get that? By asking Him, what does He feel about this? What's His heart on this? Because it might be that He's following, or us following Him might mean, no, you got to go to the left. Okay. And to be an active, healthy follower and disciple of Jesus, it's important that you need to hear His heart. And sometimes you'll still lean on your own understanding. I've seen many people that have heard the heart of God on matters, especially matters of the heart, which is deceiving above all. We get clouded, and God says it's a no, and we still go in our own understanding. But then we eat the fruit of that, and hopefully confess and say, Lord, we've missed it, and repent and say, I'm turning away and stepping out while I can, and times of refreshing comes. Okay, Moccasin. Okay, so God's busy with our hearts. Just two biblical examples. They don't have it. I'll manage it. I was sitting and thinking, Lord, just tell me of your disciples. Where did they acknowledge you in things? Just listen to this. In Matthew 18, Peter comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, now this is trying to pick up on the heart of Jesus. He says, Jesus, man, tell me, How many times must we forgive those who sin against us? What's he doing? He's acknowledging Jesus. He's knowing him, concerning what's going on here, and he's wanting to know what Jesus thinks. And Jesus says, Peter, 70 times 7. I'm just picturing these two sitting there, and it's like me and Anthony sitting, or me and Rian, and we're chatting. And I say, hey, Rian, yes, hoeveel keer moet ek nou vir my vrou weer? Hoeveel keer moet ek toelaat om die kast deure oop te los? En Rian sê vir my, doen dit elke dag van jou lewe. Thanks. I've acknowledged him, and something came towards me. Okay, it's the same concept. And through that acknowledgement, what happens? God speaks to them. And there's life. All right. There's another example. And through that, they became a follower of the heart of Jesus. And the other one is in Luke 11, very simple one, where the disciples sit and they say, Lord, yes, man, how must we pray? What's that? That's acknowledging, wanting to pick up on the heart of Jesus. How must we pray? I know John and is telling his disciples to pray that way, but we want to pick up on your heart. We want to, ons wil hoor, wat denk jy, Jesus, hoe moet ons bid? Why? Because they wanted to follow his way of prayer. So we cannot say we are followers of God if we are not acknowledgers of God. Why am I saying it this way? Because God wants you to be a true follower. He wants you to come and share your heart. He wants to save. He wants to help. All right. And then as I begin to land with the practicality, you can sit, and again, there's quite a few things we can do to acknowledge him. But many times the way of the Lord is very simple. It's very doable. It's I almost want to say, there's hardly something that God asks of us that's so complicated that we can't read it and just it makes sense immediately. Hardly. If there's really a revelation that needs to come through, the Holy Spirit will come. But most of the things God teaches through Scripture is very doable. It's very doable for us as his followers. And the first one is this. How can we walk in acknowledging God? Well, we can acknowledge God intentionally, meaning we can know and recognize God in all our ways. We share with him. We wait for him to share his heart with the intent to hear his counsel. So when I go to God concerning a matter, holiday, what dates should we go? Where should we go this year? I go in intentionally wanting to hear his heart. It's not just, Lord, we want to go at the end of the year and yeah, Lord, please tell us what you want us to do. That's fine. But because I have a love relationship with him, it's like, Lord, we really want to go. We feel this will be the best time. We've now planned, we're dreaming, we think it can look this way. But what do you think? And then as long as I submit that thing constantly, I have this ear or this one, listening intentfully. What is he saying? Okay. It's key to recognize and acknowledge him intentionally. And not just do it, and you did the principal thing, but you disconnected from the person. All right. That's so important. Why? Because he's going to speak to you. Hy gaan praat. But if you're not intentful, if you're not inclining your ear, you're going to miss him. And this is what happens to us. So we can acknowledge with intent. I will keep that example for just now, right at the end. Secondly, what you can do is, we can acknowledge God by inquiring God's counsel. So remember, now you asked, and you and your wife, or you and the family ask God, and everybody's listening together, right? Then there's a second tier, or a second step, or just, it can be the first one. We should inquire the counsel of God through our God-ordained people around us. We're still acknowledging God, but we're acknowledging God through the people he has placed around us. It's not the people's voice we're looking for. It's the voice of God we're looking through the people, the leaders, the elders, the congregation leaders, the brothers in faith around us. Why? Because when we hear alone, we're one-dimensional, and our hearts are deceiving above all. And the Bible says in Proverbs, if you can put that up for me, 11, it says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in the abundance of counselors, those whom you've acknowledged and known in this, there's safety. Why? Because it's easier for the voice of the Lord to reach your heart through 3 to 4 people around you than you sitting in your on your own mountain or valley and trying to hear for yourself. And God anoints leaders around you, sometimes hear things that you cannot hear for yourself. Now, do we do what people just say or what the leaders say? No, unless you are in a function and somebody has been appointed over you and you are a man and woman under authority, then you need to obey. It's different. But if counsel comes, you need to weigh it up next to what you hear from the Lord, because ultimately leadership are not our God and our Savior and our Lords. There's only one Savior and Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But He does speak through leadership. Okay, and I can testify, I would have not been in Just Gen if not for the counsel of the Lord around me. I would have not remained in Just Gen the last 4 years if not for the counsel of the Lord in leaders and elders around me. That's kept me accountable, my wife, brothers in the faith, brothers and sisters, couples that are connected to us. All right, there's safety. So don't do it on your own. Don't hear for yourself. You can do the following. You can decide for yourself. But don't hear for yourself. Okay. And then let me give you an example. This is the one I wanted to keep, and I'm almost finished for the kids. About 2 months ago, now we've been praying, our kids know, Neva somewhere, we've been praying years for a 7-seater vehicle. Okay, now for us, this is a matter of prayer and acknowledging God. Okay? And even if we had the money to buy it, we would not buy it because we can. We buy it because we may. Why? Because we subject and yield it to the Lordship of Christ. See, He doesn't need to save us now. He needs to lead us. So we don't do it based on our abilities. We're not leaning on our financial capacity. We're leaning on the counsel of the Lord. Why? Because financial capacity cannot keep us safe. But the Lord can keep us safe. All right. And you can have both. But you can only have both under the Lordship of God. Not the other way around. So we were praying for years and nothing happened. Yet we were faithful with our one, with our vehicle we had and with the other one. Because that's important. And things happened, but we remained faithful, remained acknowledging. And about 2 months ago, we were put in a position where we could acquire the vehicle that we felt we needed for now. Because our heart is, we had a 5-seater, and we wanted to transition over into taking people with us to church. There was always a Mikey, a kid that needs to jump in or two, and we couldn't do it because we remain within the rules. You've got a safety belt on. So sorry, we can't take a 6th person. Okay? We stayed within our picket fences. So we said, Lord, we really need it now. And what happened is we put in that position and we could make 2 options. I don't want to name the options. But just know this, it's a miracle of God. So if you see us driving our car that we drive now, which is for us, it's the one that the Lord has given. No, it was a miracle of the Lord. So what we did is we had the one vehicle that I've always more or less had my eye on, and we had the Suzuki that we have, the Tiga that we have now. And we started praying, acknowledging the Lord, picking up on His heart, picking up on His heart. And while we were praying, I went to Kevin, who's my lead elder. And I shared with him, Kevin, this is the 2 options. Tell me what you think. Why? I want to hear the heart of God through the man that God has placed around me. So I'm trusting God, I'm trusting him, but I'm trusting God more than I'm trusting him. Does it make sense? Okay. And I went to Vanna, who's also full-time with us. I said, Vanna, tell me, what do you think? You know this industry well. It's this option. And the one would say that one, and the one would say this one. And eventually we pulled back with all the council, and we sat together and we said, okay, this one's the dream. Oh, this is the dream. But we're beginning to pick up this one's the will. But we just want to make sure. Sometimes they come together, and sometimes they don't. Both will work. There won't be judgment on it. But we didn't want the good acceptable. We wanted the perfect will of God. Okay? And we prayed and prayed, and one night a lot of things happened. But the final straw was this. I walked in one evening and I said to her, let's give it one more night. And in that moment, when I walked into the room, she said to me, did you see where the diesel price is going? And the moment she said it, it was almost not like Anel speaking. It's like I heard the Lord. Okay? And I said to her, that's the answer. It's not the dream. It's the will. We need to go for this one. And we settled into the will. And you know what happens when you settle into the will of God? When you settle into the will of God, joy fills you. Peace fills you. Everything that you thought would have been great based on your understanding suddenly falls away. Why? Because grace now abounds for all things pertaining godliness. All right. You want to be in the will. You get into the will by hearing and acknowledging the will out of his heart. All right. And we are like, she laughs at me, not because she negatively, but when I still do it? I walk past the car sometimes and I say, oh, you're beautiful. Huh? I love the car. Don't worship it. But I will look after her, and so will they. Why do I love it? It's something of the Lord entwined between the decision and the choosing and the will that have weaved us together. Okay, that's how God works. That's how God works. Okay, yeah, thanks. I agree. Not in a good way. It is beautiful. It's truly amazing. It's worth everything. I think it's in other things. The moment you do the will of God and he's on it, I don't know, he just deposits, because it's his heart and it's his heart is love, there will be a deposit of him concerning the very thing or the very person whom he said yes for. All right. Can you give me those last two scriptures as I'm finished? The one is Ephesians. Paul is speaking in Ephesians 6. And this is actually my last reasoning. This is when we acknowledge God, do it prayerfully, constantly, praying, Lord. To say, Lord, what do you think is a form of a prayer, but it's a form of a communication. All the time. Listen to what he says here. Always praying in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Do that to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. All perseverance. Don't stop, even if it takes 7 years. Okay? As we go towards the end of the year, we are now already acknowledging God in when does he want us to go on holiday. I've already spoken to Kevin. Kevin, this is what we feel. But what do you feel, Kevin? And I remember years ago, I would have felt, oh, this is going to restrict me now. What if Kevin says, no, you got to go in January. I've realized now, I'm going to hear the Lord in him. And if he says it's January, I'm going to submit it unto the Lord. And I'll tell you one thing. If that's God, God will make January so great for us. And if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change his greatness and faithfulness. All right. And then Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything in all your ways, by prayer and supplication, with saying thank you, let your recognition of the Lord, your request, be made known to God. All right. And I feel this is what the Father and what the Son and what the Holy Spirit is brewing upon it. And He wants you as His child to acknowledge Him. Some of us have been on the road of faith for many, many, many years. The time to stop acknowledging is the time when we die. If we are still alive and well, and we can voice something, it's time to acknowledge the Lord. Some of us are green in the faith. Know Him in your ways, okay? And I can just say, I need to keep the tension. It does not mean He's going to do everything we feel. It does not even mean He's going to most probably do what He said. Why? Because the moment we hold Him to that, and He cannot change His heart, we make Him unsovereignable. And He's sovereign, meaning what? He can change His mind. And we should be okay with that.